Welcome to the Best People We Know radio show. This is where you'll meet experts and celebrities who share their success secrets with you to help you be your most successful best too. Your host, Deb Scott, is a certified professional coach at Discover the Amazing You Coaching and author of the award-winning motivational book, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up. The Best People We Know radio show brings you powerful resources, effective ideas, and transformational tools you can use to educate, inspire, and motivate you to be your most purposeful, peaceful, happy best. So get ready to experience mind vitamins to feed your whole soul. Good change is about to happen. The Best People We Know radio show. Here's your host, Deb Scott.
Well, good morning, all the best people I know. Yes, that would absolutely be you. Feel the love through the airwaves. You guys are awesome. Making this show in the top 1 to 2% in so many categories, I can't stand it. Okay, shameless plug. We've been in the top 1 to 2% not only in self-help, but in business, in travel, in woman, in family, in moms, you know, top 5% in spirituality. I am just out of my mind with how successful you guys have made this radio show, because it's all from you, over 21,000 listeners in really less than a year. I am overwhelmed, and I want to thank you, and let you know how much I appreciate you sharing your shine and helping other people be their best, because I truly believe we are not an accident. We're here for a special reason. We are one of a kind, and if we don't share our shine, who will? And I am telling you, today's guest, I am so jazzed. I have been waiting for months to have her on, and I am so excited to have Paula Rainey here. I'm telling you, this show is going to be awesome. I'm already promising you, because I know. But before I read Paula's fabulous bio and bring her on live, I want to remind you that you can get an entire listing of all the guests for the month if you go to my website, Green Sky and Bluegrass, Green Sky and Bluegrass. On the right-hand side, you'll see a nice, attractive green box. It says Monthly Motivation News. And if you sign up for that, privacy is always kept. Don't worry. Nobody's email goes anywhere. You'll get, at the top of the month, a listing of all of our great guests. And if you want those worry-free updates, spur of the moment, from Blog Talk Radio, you just mark us as a favorite and follow us on the front of our BTR page, and then they will send you a worry-free update about an hour and a half, an hour, something like that, before the show. And you can always listen to us on replay, download on your mobile device, on iTunes. All right. Well, let me tell you what you can expect to step into good change with Paula Rainey, because she is a professional life coach. She's a motivational speaker. She's a regression hypnosis practitioner. Ooh. And she's an award-winning author, multiple times, by the way. She's been a consultant for 18 years. She holds a degree in financial planning. She's very eclectic and is a member of the International Association of Coaches. She's an advocate for being your best with the hardline self-help approach. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, is her award-winning book with the hardline self-help handbook. Her fiction books, however, I want to, you know, let you know how credible this lady is. She's amazing. Her fiction books have been featured in national and regional magazines, including Red Book. Can you believe that? She's awesome. Mountain Living, Colorado Homes, and Lifestyles. And she's also appeared on local and national television shows, including C-SPAN's Book TV. Wow, are we so blessed to have her with us. Her current award-winning book, The Hardline Self-Help Handbook, is a fast-track course of self-discovery and self-empowerment. By taking the KISS approach to self-help, Hardline cuts to the chase and gives readers a simple, practical guide for self-understanding and transformation using real-world examples and a straightforward, no-holds-barrier approach. Paula shows how we can all cause ourselves unnecessary conflict, confusion, and pain, but more importantly, how we can change it. This book is often funny, sometimes sad, but always revealing. It is completely frank, and the stories are absolutely tremendous. She gives us situations from her own life, seeing opportunities for making choices and finding the courage to make them happen. So self-discovery, great things are about to happen, and she's going to also have some additional titles, but let's talk about the one right now that she has that's a bestseller and getting awards. Paula Rainey, it is a pleasure to have you on the Best People We Know show.
Well, good morning, Deb, and I'm so glad to be here. I love your show, and I love all your energy and all that you're doing, so gosh, let's get to it.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's great. Okay. Well, listen, let's make the first question. The title of your book is Hardline Self-Help. So why don't you just explain to people listening what that title means?
Well, I really chose this because I wanted to get really tough with myself. That's what I had to do. And I wanted people to be willing to get tough with their selves. With the way things are in the world right now, we really don't have time to take the long-term approach. Things are changing so fast. And if we just stay stuck in that place, we're not going to go anywhere. So I'm really wanting people to say, okay, I'm willing to hold my feet to the fire. Just help me. Show me the way. I'll do it. I'll grit my teeth and do it. So that's what it's all about. Hard line, getting to the bottom line and not getting distracted with all these other things, getting to the heart of the problem, whatever the limiting beliefs, whatever they are, changing them and then reframing them.
Yeah. And, you know, I really think that people are starving for that approach because so many times it can just be rhetoric and more rhetoric. And talking without action doesn't get you any results. It's like if you only plant ifs and whens, don't expect when nothing grows. You know what I mean? You got to do it. You can't just talk about it. So I really think that is so awesome, the title that you have and the way you describe it. But if there was a quick three-word takeaway, how would you describe the book?
Self-tough love. Yep. Well, we talk about tough love, and we understand in giving that to other people, you know, we have an understanding of that. But let's really start where it's most important, and that's in the mirror.
Yeah. And, you know, if you can't love yourself, don't expect anybody else to. I mean, you know, you can't give what you don't have.
Well, you know, and that's right, and I love it that you brought that up, Deb, because one of the things, you know, I heard that all my life. My mom would always say, well, you have to love yourself. You know, you have to love yourself. And I just look at her with this blank stare going, and exactly what does that mean? I mean, everybody loves herself. What does that mean? I had no concept of what that meant. Got down the road, and I mean, I heard it my whole life. It still did not resonate with me. But after I got through with my dark times, or, you know, most of them, and I started looking back and started talking about those times, I heard myself saying, well, if I had a shred of self-respect, I certainly wouldn't have done that. And then it dawned on me. Okay, maybe I didn't understand what it meant yet to really love myself, but by golly, I knew what respect meant, and I could deal with that. So actually, I'm just going to segue into one of the tips from the book here. And I came up with these two questions, that when you're in this place of really, you know, dark turmoil, confusion, you just feel stuck, you don't know what to do, and you have this angst inside, two questions can really clear that up if you're in the place, a similar one to what I was. And that is, would a person with high self-esteem and self-respect do what I'm doing, think what I'm thinking, or tolerate what I'm tolerating? And then why or why not? Amazing insights can come from that. And then the second question is, of course, well, does this get me closer to what I really want? Again, why or why not? And if what you really want is peace, love, happiness, joy, and you're, say, in a relationship where you're just in turmoil, you've got to ask yourself what it is your real goal is. Again, just a really quick tip for some great insights if you'll use them.
And we're going to talk a little bit more about the tips that you have and some of the things that readers, people can expect to get so that they can really cut to the chase with these changes that they want to implement. But one of the things, just moving a little bit back, I do want to make sure that listeners understand who you are and why you wrote the book. And I think that it's important because You know, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And understanding and relating and trusting you with what you're sharing, I think, is super important. And if you could just share a little bit about why you wrote, why you were inspired to write the book, I think it would help listeners connect with you a little bit more deeply and authentically.
Well, Deb, it may be the similar story. We write what we know. That's as an author, as a writer, write what you know. Well, for me, actually, you know, we said, okay, well, is this self-help book your therapy book? Actually, it wasn't. It was really my fiction books where I started that little step forward into digging what was going on with me inside. So when I got to this point of really some better understandings, as I was going through that, I had a best friend, and I went through a divorce. I was married for 25 years and just planned to be married for my whole life. Well, it didn't work out that way, and I was really having a really tough time with it, you know, a lot of resentment and things like that. And then I was in a rebound relationship that went just like really bad, on steroids bad, and I was talking to my best friend, and I was going through the same tale of woe that I'd gone through a zillion times before. And she just said at the end, she said, you know, isn't it great that no matter who you tell your story to, for the rest of your life, they'll say to you, oh, you poor thing, and you, my friend, can be a victim forever. Oh, my gosh. Talk about a slap in the face. There it was. And that is what I am trying to do for others, you know, with this book.
Wow. And, you know, who listening doesn't have some sort of problem or something they want a solution for in their life? And, you know, you can have the best of intentions for a lasting marriage or a lasting job or lasting health. But you know what? There are so many things that we can't control, but we can control how we respond to them. And I think, you know, I'm sorry to hear the pain that you suffered, but I know that you are helping people, because the things that you did to help you move on are helping other people. And that's why, you know, you're talking all over the country about this and making a difference. So tell somebody listening what they can expect with the hardline self-help approach. What are they, you know, some different examples maybe you want to give? I know your book is very unique in its style, so I definitely want to talk about that, because there's a million books out there, but people want to know what's unique about yours, what's different about your approach, your philosophy, what are the results that people are getting with it, because that's, I think, where a listener right now is hoping to get, you know, something from you on this.
Okay, and it's the book that I needed, Deb, and I couldn't find. I mean, I went through tons of books just like we all did, and they made an impact on me. They may have made me feel good in the moment, but I didn't really get huge lasting results or anything, and it was easy to just go, oh, I feel good, or maybe to sort of twist it, because I was so good at that, twisting it to make it where it made the situation that I was in, it sort of validated that so I didn't have to do anything. Well, my book doesn't do that. You can't get off the hook with this book. In fact, I gave a little talk the other day, and I could see, you know, in the audience, I saw this one guy, and he just kept looking at me, and I knew what was coming. And after the talk, he came up to me, and the questions he asked were, he wanted a loophole where what I had just said did not apply to him. And I just laughed, because that's what I did every time I got the chance. Well, in this book, you don't get that chance. If you'll do the work, you will get your answer. So the way it's set up is every chapter, you know, has a particular topic, and it talks about it. And I give some really, you know, examples of things, you know, people I've known. And they're all personal stories for me that are in this book. And some of them, I mean, I'm brutally honest about what I went through, and I don't hold back anything on my mistakes or anything like that, because I have to be honest. We've all been there. Well, at the end of each chapter, then, I have what I call line it out exercises, and they are questions that you need to stop and really, really think through them, and let whatever answers or whatever thoughts come into your mind, and you have to write them down. It's very important to write them down. Can't just think through them.
You know, Yeah, and I love that you do that, because I'm a biology major, you know, at heart I think it'll never leave me. My love for research and studies and prospective randomized studies and all that stuff. But all the research on happiness and goal setting, it all proves that as soon as you write something down, you are significantly and statistically more likely to achieve it. You know, and people think, well, is it voodoo? Is it magic? Well, I think the brain is designed, when you write it down, it brings some reality to it, and the subconscious works on creating a solution or finding or making that a reality. But every single study I've ever investigated has proven writing it down is the one easy, simple thing you can do to make sure your goal is more likely to be manifested. And, you know, I think you providing that opportunity to write down those things at the end of each chapter, you know, really validates, really makes it more likely to keep those thoughts that you present fresh. And it also makes them more real. Do you want to talk about some of the success stories? Because I know you have many, some befores and afters, or, you know, anything that you've experienced with listeners or people in talks that you've given to, because there's a ton of reviews on your book and a lot of feedback.
Well, yes, and I love every one of them, and I do. I will share some of those success stories, but what I want to share first, though, Deb, is the truth of the matter, that I still have to do this work, and I want everyone to understand this. I mean, I'm better than I ever was, but every day it's a process, and I still catch myself. Now, I'm better at it than I used to be. I still use these techniques. I still have to run through them, and it is critical that I write them down, because if I don't, I'll just dismiss that thought that I really don't want to deal with, and I won't do it. So I want to be sure everybody understands, like you just said, how important that process is of writing it down. Now, you know, some of the success things, I've really been so surprised when I've gotten some of these letters, because it's like, I know you. You have written about my life. And it just made me, even reviewers have sent me personal emails about that and said, you know, I get a lot of these books, and I got this. And he said, it really kicked me in the teeth. It punched me in the gut, and I had to deal with it. And what that particular story was, of course, the subtitle of the book is, What Are You Willing to Do to Get What You Really Want? And this particular person said, it made me stop and get real with what I want in my life and what I'm willing to do and what I'm not. I have to own the fact that I'm not willing to change that, and then make peace with it, let it go, because it doesn't matter whether you change it or you don't. It's that making peace and knowing where you are. And I think for me, that's the greatest success right there, is understanding where you are, why you're there, what you're willing to do about it, and what you're not, and then taking action.
Yeah, without action, nothing's going to happen. And I do want to talk more about what you mean when you say, you know, what are you willing? What are you really willing to do to get what you really want? But there's been a very patient caller. Do you mind if we take a call, Paula?
Because
this person at 770 has been very patient waiting.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so 770-895, you are on the air and live speaking with Paula.
Hi, I was just listening. I didn't have a question yet.
Okay, well, we are very excited that you're here, and thank you for listening. So I'll put you back on mute. When you have your question, just press that number one, and we'll get you on the air with Paula, okay? But thanks for being part of the show. Now you're recorded for history for all time. Do you want to tell us your name?
I'm Dina from Atlanta.
Wonderful. I used to live in Atlanta. Great city. Okay, well, I'll put you back on mute, and we'll get back to you in a sec, I guess. Okay. I love our listeners. Are they the best or what? I'm telling you, we are the best people we know. I love us.
This is fun.
It is a lot of fun. Okay, well, go ahead and tell us a little bit more about what you mean. What are you really willing to get, you know, really willing to do to get what you really want?
Well, we say, you know, the question seems so obvious. You'd go, I'm willing to do anything, absolutely anything. Are you really? And I would tell you that no, you're not. I mean, a very obvious example is if you need money, are you willing to rob a bank to do it? Well, no, you're not. Okay, most of us aren't anyway. But that's kind of a very simplistic example. But for me, when I was in that place, and mine kind of center around relationships, and I was curled up in a ball on the floor, you know, and just begging for help and all of these things, oh, just, you know, fix it. I'll do anything to have this wonderful relationship that's happy. I want to be happy in my relationship. I want this, I want that. But the one thing that I was not willing to do was leave that person. And I
you know, and talk, I tell you, talk, it's easy.
Yeah.
But the action behind it, and I love what you said, and I hope listeners are really gravitating to this. We all do it. Oh, I'll do anything. It's like, you know, sometimes in prayer I do that. God, anything, please, you know. And it's like that bargain that we have. And we don't always get what we want, but getting what we need and being clear about what we're willing to give up, because sometimes we hold on to those secondary gains. So I think that this is really the key that unlocks the door to entering the new life that you're talking about with Hardline Self-Help. So I'm sorry I had to pause and inject that, because I love, love, love it. I really do. I'm telling you. And the analogy with robbing the bank, you know, it's maybe it's a little out there, but it really brings home to the point. And I think sometimes we need those visual images that give us a visceral response to make the words real. And that was a good example of it, because we're not willing, most of us, to rob the bank to get the money. So let's transfer this and bridge it now into the Hardline Self-Help, because this is awesome stuff.
So what we do in the book is we get to those beliefs, and that's the very first chapter. What are you willing to do? And you have to get clear on that part before you can even move forward. And you're an author, an award-winning author, and you know when you say, oh, I've got a book, oh, and you'll hear, oh, I'm going to write a book, or so-and-so's writing. Are you really going to write a book? Are you willing to do what it takes to be an author, to write a book, to, and all of that, or is it just a great idea that you have? Are you willing to give up your 3 hours in front of the television every night? Are you willing to sit in front of the computer? Those are real things that you have to get clear on. And it doesn't matter what it is. Do the exercise and get it clear in your head. And then you can say, okay, I'm really not. It's a great idea, and maybe someday if I have time I will, but I'm not going to, you know, and it just entertains me to say that. But just get real with yourself, and then you can set the parameters for the next step to just really know who you are and own it. Because only then, when you're congruent, I love that word, when your insides and outsides match, when everything is in alignment, the heart and the head, any way you want to say it, when they match, you're happy. You're doing, you're living, you're being your authentic self, and you're living in the place that you really want to be. But if you're not, if you're saying one thing, but there's a belief system inside that's telling you something else, or there's a voice, those things are in conflict, and it will cause you trouble. This book takes you step by step to uncover what's going on with you, whether it's, you know, a limiting belief about, you know, you personally, I'm a bad person, whatever, or bringing some other things to the surface. There's one section in there called remote controls. Well, we've all got them. Who pushes your buttons? Figuring out why that is and getting it fixed. Rewire that button. When you push that remote, that 7 on the remote on the TV, it will go to channel 7. You are the same way. And unless you figure out what's wired to that, you can't change it. So you start becoming aware of your thoughts, becoming aware of what you say. It's so important. I mean, this book just covers the whole spectrum in just a really hard-hitting, short way, actually. It's fast track. It covers health thoughts, and I'm just going to just go on to that, too. You know, we say it, oh, you know, I get so many colds a year. We hear that. Everybody, that's just one example. We all say things that are true in our lives. One more quick example of how these beliefs control what we do. My good friend here came over one day, and we were going to go for a walk. Well, I'm not a big walker, but I needed to do it, so okay, we'll go. But I needed my mattress flipped before we went. And so I said to her, I said, will you help me with that? Oh, sure. So she said, well, do you want to do it before we go walk or afterward? I said, oh, my gosh, we better do it now because we'll be so tired when we get back. And I stopped myself right there. oh, my gosh, that is my limiting belief. The reverse of that, I would have said, was, oh, let's wait till we get back, because after we walk, we will feel so great. It'll be so easy to do. And it was that moment when I realized how powerful that was.
That is really, that is a great real-life example, and I think that's where you are really different. You really, you know, you it's like a machine gun, you know, so many real-life examples. But I also love, I love your analogies. You know, I'm a big analogy fan because, you know, to get a new thought, you have to get rid of the old one, but you have to somehow in your mind get that aha moment so it's true for you. And even that, you know, section that you have in the book on the remote control thing, I love that because you do. You press channel 7 and it goes to number 7, and our mind and our thoughts are like that. The only way we're going to get new thoughts is to get new input. You know, we got to download new information into our mind, just like we want to get new software into a computer to be able to do new things with it. And our best thinking gets us here. Our best thinking isn't going to get us out of here. So we need somebody else to give us new ideas, new ways of thinking, new ways of looking at things. And the mattress example there, I love that. I'll have more energy when we come back from the walk, so let's wait. You know, I love that. That is so cool. And that's I think, what makes the difference. So I'm hoping that people listening right now, I hope what you're feeling right now is a lot of hope in your heart, a lot of joy through your, you know, through your veins, because nothing is impossible. It just seems at the moment, just because right now you may feel like, oh, things will never change for me, or I could never be like Paula, or, you know, oh, I've tried this, this, and this, but it hasn't worked. Hey, it don't give up 5 minutes before the miracle. At any moment, something can change in the blink of an eye. Think of your life, how many things, how many people you met, something that you read, someone, something that you did. Everything can change. The hinge is small, but it opens a big door. And hardline self-help, it can be that for you, can put you into that new landscape so that you can start connecting the dots. But don't think that anything that you tried in the past is wasted, because that's all going to help. Isn't it, Paula? Isn't that part of your message? Don't punish yourself and think, oh, why hasn't this other stuff that I tried didn't work for me? You know, Paula's book won't work for me. No, all of that stuff can be used for good, right? That manure, the fertilizer, let's take the manure, make it into good fertilizer, I always say, so nothing is wasted. Talk to somebody who's feeling, you know, like they can't do it, but you know they can.
Well, absolutely. Every step that has gotten you to this point is absolutely a gem, and it's very important. And it's, for me, when I found, you know, what clicked on one bell, it's like it went back in time and flipped on all those other switches that I just wasn't quite ready to flip on at that time. So that nothing, you are so right, nothing is wasted. And to everyone listening, wherever you are, you can make such a difference by just paying attention to your thoughts and going, I didn't even realize that's what I was thinking, and that's what's been holding me back. It can make such a huge difference very quickly.
Mm. The other thing that I like about your style and approach is that you have a sense of humor about it. It's kind of like, oh, there I go again. And that's part, you know, it's like, oh, there I go again, that little voice, you know, that neighborhood, that bad neighborhood versus the good neighborhood. You know, and I think you have to have a little bit of a sense of humor in this. Hey, guess what? We're all in this thing together. We're all in the skin suit called life. We're all here. We're all coming. We have a beginning and end. We all want to do the best we can with what we got, unless we're a sociopath, like the person in the maybe want to rob the bank. That would be the sociopath. They're not listening to the radio show. They're not in the Best People We Know club. But, you know, we all have something. But, you know, you got to keep trying. And it's, you know, one of my favorite books, of course, is Napoleon's Hill, Think and Grow Rich, said the story about the guys that said they were going to be rich, they were going to get gold, they spent all this money, they were digging, and then they gave up, and the guy that bought the bought the land from them and went 3 feet more, real life story, 3 feet more and found all the gold and became the multimillionaire in the day.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like, don't give up those three. You may just have to go 3 more feet. You know, this may be the exact thing that you need to be right there to everything you wanted, so you can't give up. Sometimes, you know, when all things are breaking up, something new is breaking through. One of the things before we go, I want to make sure that people understand you have a great ongoing system to keep people who've read the book that are, you know, into the philosophy and theme of getting hardline self-help in their life. You have a great blog. You keep it updated. You have a great website. Go to hardlineselfhelp.com. One of your most recent posts, and people can sign up and subscribe for a free development tips and stuff for your inbox, but you talk in your most recent blog post about change, fear, and letting go. Can you discuss this just a little bit for people listening? Because I'm telling you, fear is the demon of doubt that we have to dump. Get rid of it.
Well, it is, and it goes back to that same thing. We don't even realize the fears that we carry around, and that's what I'm all about, is recognizing those, and not in a beat yourself up kind of way. I want to really emphasize that, because we are where we are, and letting ourselves become who we need to be is just critical. And the story that I you know, relay in there is one from Richard Bach's Illusions, and I love it. And it's the one where the little creatures are all clinging to the bottom of the river and, you know, hanging on to keep the water from pushing them aside. And then one of them all of a sudden decides to just, you know what, I'm bored to tears. I'm just done with this. I'm letting go and seeing what happens. And it goes on and opens a whole other world. We are so socialized to be compliant and to not change that it's really hard. We have to understand it's not something that's inherently wrong with us. It's just that we've been trained to fear change. So we will stay where we can tolerate it. And that at the top of that, that's that quote, what we can tolerate, we will not change. And it is so true. That's why, like for me, it took so much for me to get to that point where I was pushed so hard that I was at my break point, and then I had to change.
Mm. And, you know, I think that if you look at the recovery experts, they will all say that sometimes, you know, I'm not saying that it's like an addiction like, you know, alcohol or cocaine or whatever, but that negative thinking, you know, that we get addicted to it and in an odd way. And sometimes you need to hit that rock bottom. But that can be a good thing, because it really can be motivating to enter a new life that you never expected, maybe better than you ever dreamed of. And, you know, I think that your, I guess I want to say your approach to being tough love, but having that sense of humor and really looking at the cause. You know, you can stop someone from throwing the salt at you. Okay, that's one approach. But if you have an open wound, it's going to hurt every time someone throws salt at you. So do you want someone to tell you where to go to not have salt thrown on you, or do you want someone that's going to help you heal that wound so that if somebody throws salt on you, no matter where you are, you're free to go where you want, and anybody can throw salt on you, but it'll never hurt because the wound is gone. So heal the wound or avoid salt. And what your approach does is it says, look, we got to get to healing that wound. We got to get to that limiting belief, and we got to change that. And, you know, I'm hoping that you can share maybe your favorite story of somebody that commented. I mean, there's so many things in your book. You have to read it. You have to get it. You have to work it. But is there some favorites that you'd like to share with people that are listening?
Yeah, I would. I mean, and I use the analogy of the little girl, and she's out riding her bike. And she falls down and she scrapes her knee. And she says, oh, you know, this hurts. But if I go in and tell my mom's going to scrub those rocks and that dirt out, and it's going to hurt bad. She's going to put that stingy stuff on it, and it's really going to hurt. But if I go now and get my own Band-Aids and cover that up, she won't know, and I won't have to go through that pain. Well, that can, okay, that's all well and good, but it didn't fix anything. That dirt and that stuff is still in there, and worse, it's festering. And so now there's some ooze that's starting to come out around the Band-Aid, and she's going, uh-oh, this is going to be bad. Okay, more Band-Aids, more Band-Aids. That's what we do in life. So you've got to get to the point where you're no longer afraid to face what's under that Band-Aid and just rip it off and say, all right, I'm dealing with it, because once it's cleaned out, once it's free of all that garbage that got put in there, you can heal, and it doesn't hurt anymore. And that, I love that image, because it's, well, it's kind of gross, but it's one that you can really remember.
Yeah, and you know, I think that that's, again, where we have to really have what you talk about, those authentic conversations with ourselves, and ask us what we really, really want and what we're really willing to do to get it. Do we really love ourselves enough to get rid of those poison people in our life? Do we really love ourselves enough to do the work to really, in a non-judgmental way, say, okay, do I want to cover up the wound with that Band-Aid and leave all the junk in there so that somebody else just doesn't see it, you know, for a minute? Or do I really want to deal with the issue? You know, what do you really want? Because, you know, either the pain now and pain later, it's just a lie that we're buying to think that if we procrastinate dealing with the issue, that somehow we're going to avoid having to deal with it, because it's not going to go away. So, you know, sometimes it takes work to be happy and it takes work to be miserable, but, you know, which one's going to give you the payoff in the end? And we have to look at it that way. It's like, you know, we think if we hear something that tickles our ear, that pleases us, that somehow we've won. But, you know, just to extrapolate in what you're talking about with your little girl story, it's like, you know, the person that has to have, you know, that has cancer, that has to have radical surgery, if the doctor tells them, well, you know, you're fine, go home, don't think about it, do the law of attraction, just think good thoughts and you'll be fine. You know, is that really what you need that's going to help you get what you really want? Or do you need the doctor that says, guess what, you got cancer, you're going to feel worse, we're going to have to do radical surgery, it's going to be terrible recovery time, but then you're going to live the rest of your life and be happily ever after. You know, I mean, sometimes you have to have a little bit more pain in the short term to get that long-term, excuse me, happiness. But I think throughout your book, you really do give everybody that hope, and you're living it. But you're eating your words regularly just like everybody else. You know?
Yes, and, I have a feast on occasion, yes.
I have a feast. Hey, listen, we're all eating humble pie together, singing Kumbaya some days. But that's part of it, and that's why it's great. That's why I'm telling people, go get the email newsletter from Paula. Go to Hardline Self-Help. Get those mind vitamins on a regular basis. Know that, hey, just because you've had the aha moment doesn't mean that you don't have to feed and nurture. There's none of us that's not brushing our teeth every morning, eating every day, taking showers. I mean, there's a lot of things we do on a regular basis. But guess what? You know, we want to do it. It's a good result. And we have to rewire our mind to realize that the payoff in doing these things that Paul is talking about seems tough, but in the end, it's going to be the best thing. It's going to give you what you want. And once you start feeling better, once you start feeling those results and that experience becomes real for you and it's not just a book, then you'll want to do it more often, and then the success will breed the success. The happiness will, you know, make more happiness grow. And it's sometimes just changing gears, and changing gears seems tough in the moment, but once you start, you know, getting that momentum and going downhill, you know, you feel the breeze in your face and you're like, oh man, why did I wait so long? And I think that's what your book does. And I really love what you're about and what you're doing. And I love that you have to eat your own words too. I feel so much better about myself hearing that you do that too. you know, if you go to the Amazon, you can get it, but I'm just going to read a couple of things that people said about the book, because I think that that's always fun. This book is like a true best friend, the one who gives it to you straight, no holds barred. This will work for you as long as you're willing to do your part. I highly recommend the step-by-step tough love approach to getting what you want. Paula not only tells the absolute truth about getting unstuck, but also gives you tools that guide you to take action and personal responsibility to create an amazing life. Take responsibility for our decisions and how those can either help us or prevent us from getting what we want is the key message of this book, and it reminds us to stop whining and make choices that support our goals, because not only do we deserve good things, the key to getting them is already within us. And these are from PhDs, you know, regular people, MSs, people, business, all walks of life. I, you know, recommend that you go. I mean, you even have a great, somebody that's a nurse actually put a comment in there that I love too. So, you know, we're all in the business of living, and we all have different jewels, but we all have some junk that we want to turn into jewels. I think that's what hardline self-help does. Did you want to talk any more about, you know, because I know you've got a series coming up, what people can expect, how to connect with you. I know I've shared a few of the websites, but you're doing a major tour right now, so I just want to make sure people know how they can connect with you and you know, just keep those mind vitamins coming.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to hear from everyone and just, you know, to go to the blog and, you know, sign up for the feed. I usually update like two or three times a week and send out a story to really get you to thinking or whatever. Or it's maybe something that I've experienced that week. So I would love to hear your comments on what's going on and maybe how I could, you know, share something with you, or maybe you could share something with me. I really want it to be an interactive thing, and it's all about, you know, helping each other. Because I got to tell you, Deb, as far as hard cases go, I don't know if there's any listener out there that could really be any more of a hard case than what I was. So
that, I love that.
I mean,
hey, listen, if Hardline can work for Baller, it can work for anybody. There you go.
I know we don't have time to go into that, but if you read the book, you'll see my story, and you'll see how it started, you know, from childhood. And I had all these really, really deeply ingrained beliefs that I had to just, you know, really work to get out of. And it truly became a matter of life and death to my subconscious, and it caused me to do things that, man, a sane person wouldn't do. And that's what I want for other people. I want them to know that I've been there. You don't have to make it as hard on yourself as I made it on me. And here's some tools to help you.
Mm-hmm. And you do have some guest bloggers too, don't you? Guest posts. You have some different. You have some guest writers on your blog too, don't you?
Yeah, from time to time, I do. The majority of it on there is mine, is from me. But every, you know, and now and then I've got a couple of people, and I'm also guest on other places too. So, you know, I'm kind of all over the place, which I absolutely love. And you know, Deb, I'd love to, if we've got time, I'd love to tell people, because I just want to emphasize that we've all been there, and wherever you are, you can make a difference. And I hope that you won't have to do what I've done. And so I've got this story, and it's an honest truth, and I've talked so much about my relationship, and I was in this rebound relationship that was, I mean, it was like the highest of the highs and the lowest of the lows, and I just, and the only way I know to describe it, I felt like I was sitting on the edge of a razor blade most of the time. No matter what I did, I was pretty sure things were going to go bad, but I couldn't let it go. Well, one time I had a business function that this guy was supposed to attend with me, and he didn't show up for it. And to say that, and it wasn't a kind, this wasn't the first time, and to say that I was upset truly understates the issue. And I mean, I wanted out, and I knew I shouldn't have even been in the relationship, but you know that turmoil, and there we are, and I'm talking myself.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. And so anyway, after it's over, I get a call and from the emergency room that he'd chosen to go do a job for, get this, you're going to love this, an ex-girlfriend and her husband, and had hurt himself and had stitches and blah, blah, blah. And so now he was done, and, you know, and so then I felt all this guilt. Well, how dare I have those evil thoughts about him? Well, he's, you know, and all those thoughts went through my head, but I'm still angry because he'd made that choice and all these things. So anyway, he said, well, will you take me to go get some, you know, to get the medicine? Sure. So go into town. I'm coming back from town, and blue lights in my rearview mirror. I'm going, oh, my God, I'm not doing anything wrong. What have I done? So I'm, and it's cold, and I'm shaking because I'm upset, and everything's going through my head. And I pull over, and the state trooper comes up to the window, and he said, you know why I pulled you over? I said, I have no idea. I mean, and honestly, I didn't have any idea. He said, you have a broken taillight back here. I said, oh, well, yeah, I know, but I've got red tape over it, and it's fixed. He said, I see that you have red tape over it, but it's not fixed. And there's, you know, there's some light shining through. And I said, well, I know, but I have more tape, you know, whatever. And he said, ma'am, your taillight is broken. He said, I need you to get out of the car and come back here with me. I'm going, oh, could you just write me the ticket and put me out of my misery? Please, just be done with it. But we didn't. So we go back to the back, and we're standing at the back of my car looking at this broken taillight. I'm not arguing that the taillight's broken, but he said, do you see where that light's coming through? I said, yes. I said, I've got red tape in the glove box. Let me go get it, and I'll fix it. I'll make it okay right now. He said, ma'am, the taillight is broken. Do you understand? You cannot put another piece of tape over it and fix this. Well, I knew in that moment. I knew. We weren't talking about the taillight. I knew that. And I'll tell you what, I fixed that taillight the next day, but it took me a whole lot longer to fix what was wrong inside that car.
Wow. I am so glad that you shared that story. I'm telling you, can we all see ourselves doing that at one time or another? Because I certainly saw myself in there. Sometimes it's like those drips, you know, just ignore it and it'll just go away and it just keeps dripping and dripping and dripping. But the taillight, isn't that true? And that's what you're doing for all of us. You're that policeman saying it's broken. What part of broken are you not understanding? Okay, and how's that been working for you? Hello? You know, but that's so, it's like, what part of it? Hey, listen, if you're unhappy, if the relationship isn't working, if you've got the stinking thinking, if something's not the way you want it, hello, wake up, it's your life, change it. There's no one holding a gun to your head, okay, saying you have to continue thinking all of those lies. You don't have to buy counterfeit happiness anymore. Get in there and fix it. Do the work. Do the tough love thing that Paul is talking about. Get it fixed. And then once the taillight's fixed, you know, you don't have to worry about getting stopped again, getting detracted, having to deal with it. You can go on and do other things in your life that you enjoy so much more. Oh, my goodness. I love that story. Do you have another quick one you want to share? Because I just love your stories. And that's one of the things that people actually comment about your book that they love so much is your sense of humor. I mean, sometimes it's like you got to have a little bit of sugar to make the medicine go down, Mary Poppins. You know, I'm telling you, there's some adult stuff in there too for us. But you put enough sugar on there to just, you know, we got to laugh at ourselves sometimes, don't we, Paula?
Well, absolutely. And when you get to that point where, you know, you're just okay with looking in that mirror, you go, okay, I know where I am. I'm not going to beat myself up anymore. It becomes fun. I mean, it really does. And you go, okay, whatever it is, it's just me, and I'm going to do differently from now on. And it doesn't hurt. You know, it doesn't hurt the way it does. But I want to share, and this is not a funny story, but I want to share why, and I did a little bit earlier, about why that taillight story was so profound and what I really had to do to get it fixed for me within. And it had to do with a belief system that was there, that was ingrained in me from the time that I was born. And that belief was that without a man in my life, I was nothing. And that's,
oh boy, yeah, that's a biggie, huh?
So no matter how much I knew that that relationship was not good for me, my subconscious was telling me, well, fine and dandy, but without it, you are nothing, Missy. And when you're nothing, that means you are dead. So as I sort of alluded to before, that conflict truly became a life and death thing for me. And I got to tell you, there were times when I was curled up on that floor, it felt like I was dying. I felt like I wanted to die because there was that internal battle with that subconscious belief that was so deeply ingrained, but my conscious self knew better. And I had to resolve that and reframe that belief. So you've got to ferret out that what that belief is so that you can fix it. But I do have another funny story if you want to hear it.
Yeah, go ahead. We got a couple more minutes in the show, so go ahead.
Oh, this will be quick. Okay, well, when I was in my 25-year marriage, and I was so unhappy, I really was. But again, we already know my belief system, and I had all of these symptoms. I was 32 years old, and I had these symptoms of this, that, and the other thing, and I was totally and completely convinced that I was in menopause at 32 years old.
What? How could you be doing that?
Well, I wasn't, but I mean, I had all these things, these beliefs, because I had these mood
swings. Oh, okay.
Things.
All right. I see.
Yeah. You know, I had these mood swings, and I had this and that and all those symptoms,
yeah, yeah.
You know, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, I trotted myself to this wonderful woman doctor that I had at the time, and she just looked at me. She goes, "You're 32 years old. You're not in menopause." And I'm going,
yeah.
Yeah, I am. I mean, I expected her to just, you know, applaud me for my diagnosis and hand me the pill to fix it, and we'd move along, you know. Well, she said no, and she talked to me, and she kept asking me all these dumb questions, and I didn't get it. And she said, well, she said, you know what, fine, I'll do some blood work, and then I want you to come back in a month, and we'll talk about it. Okay, so I come back in a month, and she asked me more dumb questions, and she said to me, she said, all the tests are perfectly normal. She said, you're not in menopause. She said, what you are is unhappy at home in your marriage. And she said, I can't fix that for you. You need to go to therapy. She said, the only thing that I can give you is an antidepressant. And I just hit the roof. I don't think so. There is nothing wrong with me. Everything is fine at home. I don't know what your problem is, and I marched myself right out of there. Well, there was plenty wrong in Happy Valley, let me tell you. And when my with my ex-husband and I, when we finally separated, it was during our separation process, I moved from Colorado to Missouri with the kids, and he left the country. That's a whole other story. But anyway, and before that happened, I was taking like Sammy for my mood, St. John's Wort, you know, the whole spectrum, and like Pepcid AC. This is not a commercial for drugs, but sounds like it, because the bile would come up in my throat at night, and I couldn't sleep, so I was taking Benadryl to sleep. I kept Tums on my, you know, and my antacids in my hand at all times. Well, here's the funny thing. When I moved to Missouri with the kids, I was there for about a year in my transition, miraculously, I didn't need any of those things. The bile wasn't coming up in my throat. I was sleeping just fine at night, and my moods were a whole heck of a lot better. So what was really going on there? Did I need to be at the doctor getting all that fixed? No, I needed to be fixing what was going on emotionally.
Wow. Wow. I think, you know, your honesty is it just, I tell you, if anything, I think we're getting, you know, talk about getting therapy online here. This is such solace. And I know that someone is listening thinking that they are all alone. And then they're listening to you and they're going, oh, my God, tell me what I think. She's telling me what I think. Paul is telling me what I think. And that's, I think, the gift of a radio show like this. I don't think that we're here by accident. We all help each other. We have to learn from each other. Eleanor Roosevelt, can't make all the mistakes yourself in life, because none of us are going to live long enough to do that. So the thing is that if someone's listening and they want to have a better life, they want to be happier, they're dealing with some problems, they want solutions to the problems, they want to get rid of the pain, you know, coming here today should definitely give you hope that you can change. There is hope for any possibility. No unhappiness is too great that it can't be bettered. But we have to learn from somebody else, and there's no shame in getting help from somebody else. And you know, if your faucet doesn't work, you call the plumber. You don't feel like you're a loser because you called the plumber. You think that you're smart because you were smart enough to get somebody who was an expert to fix it. If you need a little, you know, work on the change therapy to rewire your brain, the Hardline Self-Help Handbook can help you. And, you know, Paula, you are accessible, and you are still evolving, and that's why I'm really excited to know that you're going to have some more books in the series. What can we look forward to next? What do you want people to do? How does everybody connect with you so we can have more fun in the Best People We Know Club with you as an executive officer?
Well, that's great. And again, I hope everyone will come and to the blog and leave comments. You can email me too, but I would love to have the comments online so that we can all interact. Because just like you, it makes a difference when we share. You know, the people who come on the blog and they share their comments, it helps us all. Because Deb, I think that, you know, I mean, like me, I thought that I was unique, and so I tried to hide all this stuff because I felt so, you know, like, oh, my gosh, I'm the only one that's having these kind of things. There must be something wrong with me. I must be crazy, so I don't want anybody to know about it. And then when I finally let that out, I realized it's not unique. We all have these issues. There's nothing, quote, wrong with us. It's just challenges. These are just wonderful things that we get to go through so that we can be who we were really meant to be and our authentic, highest, best selves. And that's what I'm about here. And I really, really want everyone, in whatever way they need to hear that. Because once they change even just a little bit in their own life, when they make that one step, everything changes. It opens new doors. And the people around them are happier, too. It helps us all.
Yeah, it really is an unselfish thing. It's probably the most unselfish thing you can do to be your best, you know? So don't be thinking that if you're spending time on working on yourself and working on the healing and doing these things that Paul is talking about, that's selfish. No, it's unselfish because, you know, when you're your best, everybody around you is going to feel that same energy. And that's the whole idea here, is knowing that you are not an accident. You're created. You're here at this time and space for a reason. And you have a God-given assignment. And it's, you know, your job to take the time to discover the amazing you, as I always say. And, you know, you can't heal it until you reveal it. And that old saying, you're only as sick as your secrets, dump that junk. And that's what your book helps us do. And it's hardlineselfhelp.com, right? That's where you want people to go, hardlineselfhelp.com.
Yes, please. I would love to hear from you. And this is
okay.
This has been so great, Deb, and I've learned from you today, too, and we just learn from each other, and I love it.
Hey, best people we know, we all help each other. That's what we do in this membership here. And towards that, I want to remind you that this show is only over 21,000 listeners, only in the top 1% and 2% in number of categories because of you. It's not me that's doing it, it's you. And I really appreciate and ask you to continue to help keep this show going and growing by sharing the show with a friend, getting in touch with our guests, going to iTunes and giving us a rating. You know, Marcus is a favorite. Follow us. Go to Green Sky and Bluegrass. Get the Motivation Monthly newsletter. You know, this is a free service that's here because you keep us going. And it's impossible for me to bring you guests like Paula Rainey and Hardline Self-Help without you going out there and sharing your shine in this show with a friend and spreading the word and making sure that we have a community that is committed to being the best person that you were created to be. So I just want to thank all our listeners. Aren't they awesome, our listeners? And towards that end, you know, we've got some great people in the chat room. It was a busy chat. Sumner Davenport was saying, and she's a best-selling author, she has a wonderful way of telling her stories that motivates a person to want to listen. That's all about you, Miss Paula. Candy O'Donnell, who has one of my favorite radio shows, Candy O'Donnell, and she's going to come on as a guest, I hope, in the next month or so. And she's just talking about how the work you're sharing with us, definitely she feels confident it's going to pay off in the long run. And she says you are just a wonderful guest. And we've, of course, have Miss Pretty in the show. She's a regular listener, and so many guests. And just, wow, what a great show. Thank you so much, Paula. We'll look forward to having you back again.
Thank you, Deb. It's been great, and I'm so glad to just have this chat with you. Thank you.
All right. Well, listen, go out, be yourself, because everybody else is already taken. Connect with Paula at the Hardline Self-Help. Thank you for making this a great show, being a lot of fun to, you know, smile. It releases all those feel-good endorphins. Connect with Paula. And we have another special show today, actually at 1 o'clock, a major motion picture soon to be released on Toby's Terms with Charmaine Hammond. And it's dog lovers are going to, and it's a great family story. It's soon to be a motion picture, and we're very blessed to have Charmaine coming on and giving us the motion picture preview. So that'll be today at 1 if you want to tune in. And we'll see you next time, and go out and make it a great day because you're awesome and you're worth
the effort. Thank you for listening to the Best People We Know radio show with your host, Deb Scott. For more on Deb and her guests, plus her award-winning guidebook to transformation, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up, go to Deb's website, greenskyandbluegrass.com. You can also connect with Deb for coaching or speaking and sign up for Deb's free Mind Vitamin newsletter while you're there. So now, you're one step closer today to your greatness. We look forward to being with you next time on the Best People We Know radio show.